times, and that's just simple mathematics of the width of this thing versus the speed that we go around the sun, what our traveling speed is, which is about 1,000 miles an hour, believe it or not. People that never realize that. But we'll go through it. It will take 1 hour. The Earth is spinning, rotating, so it will expose a variety of geographical locations to the initial bombardment, so to speak, as we go through, and it will take 1 hour to pass the width of the tail. Then it goes around, and we go around, so to speak, chasing it behind times, and then it will take 155 days. It'll come back on out, and we will once again, on our regular rotation of the sun, go through it. It will be another one-hour trip. But the difference between A and B, the first and second time, will be 155 days, according to Gil Broussard and his people.
So if I've conceived this correctly, conceptualized it correctly, the effects will last an hour the first time, but they'll stay with us the second time for 155 days, which
No, you're misunderstanding.
Okay.
What I'm saying is when we pass through it, the tail, the effects of that's going to be the water and all of that problem, the flooding and everything, volcanoes activity, which might start before it even gets close enough to go around the sun. Those effects on us in terms of gravitational, et cetera, all of that will begin earlier. But in terms of going through the tail, it will take 1 hour to go through the tail. By the time we go through that tail, we will then have, there will be the flooding, there will be fires and meteor storms. All right? Then it goes on around in the back of the sun and comes back out. We will, again, pass through it at that time a second time, and we will have meteors and all those problems again bombarding us, and God only knows what that will amount to. And then it will be headed on out, dragging its tail behind it, and then there will be clear skies. But the period of time from the first passage through the tail and the second passage through the tail, according to Mr. Broussard and his people, will be 155 days between the two. So we'll go through it. It'll be horrible. But it's not going to just like it's going to stop, because it will have initiated fires and all kinds of stuff like that. And if the power's off completely, it's really mind-boggling.
See, well, there'll be an EMP
pulse. Remember,
when
I say power's off, that's everything in terms of no police, no fire, no gas, no nothing, no water, nothing being run, nothing being pumped, and no lights, nothing. That's why they're going underground. And they are entire underground cities.
Bob, I want to ask you, if your understanding of this, will there be an EMP pulse or just EMP type of effects?
Well, it'll be all of the above, I'm afraid. You know, the again, it's a gravitational force that we've never experienced in the last 500 years by anything. We have no idea what that'll do. The electromagnetic force and the magnetism just generated of this thing going through and back out. See, this is not like Halley's Comet, which is way out, millions of miles away, and we can see it, and it goes around, and it's an interesting to watch every 75 years, and then goes back out, and all of that. The tail on Halley's Comet, which is just a big snowball, it's nothing like this. This is a mass five times the size of Earth. The Halley's Comet is no more than a snowball, as most all of comets are. And the tail behind it is trailing melted debris and space dust and junk. But the tail on Halley's Comet is 24 million miles. So when we see it flashing through the sky up there, a big old, like a baseball with a big tail behind it, it's hard to imagine, but from the unit itself back, it's a 24 million mile tail. And a big problem I had originally when I got into this, when they were talking about possibly being a 3,600-year orbital cycle, you know, I first thought, not knowing what I know now, I first thought, oh, wow, that's ridiculous. There's nothing going to making an orbit of 3,600 years. What are they talking about? But then immediately after that, I found out that the newly discovered Hale-Bopp comet that did pass a few years back and went around, that orbit is 4,200 years. All right, so anyhow, what can I say? That instantly threw, I was hoping that it was all baloney, just on the basis of the 3,600 years.
Listen, I don't think there's a limit on the length of time an orbit can take to a degree. Bob, I need to get to this other question.
Go to it, please.
Do you think that martial law is being imposed, because we're on the cusp of it, to allow the elite the opportunity to escape to their safe havens?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And by the way, long before I knew anything about Jade Helms, that little practice thing, and it's not a big deal because they do this stuff all the time. It wouldn't mean too much. But I didn't even know there was nothing about that when I got into this. You have to remember now, this was a year ago when I hadn't even finished doing the DVD yet. I was in process of getting all of the information I could, as much as I could get, that would hold water, I didn't even know that Jade Helms, as far as I know, I didn't even know if it was planned when I started this thing. But see, when somebody said Jade Helms practicing for martial law, I said, well, of course. It's already, that I had in there, it's a necessity. They have to have martial law on the United States before the people realize there's some damn thing coming in from outer space. They, you know, you can't, good grief, even if we had honest people in Washington, there's no way the president could say, my fellow Americans, start digging holes, because we got a thing coming in, and we don't know what's going to really happen, and it's this gigantic possible problem, and it's all these things, and I'm going to hide underground. Goodbye. Talk to you later.
In your opinion, what is the maximum amount of time we have left before this happens?
Okay, and again, now here's where we go with and again, this is not my studies. This is studies of other people. Studies of other people is that the very earliest will be seen this December and January, February, March. It will be getting bigger and bigger. March, it will be approaching and should be at its closest, most destructive point by March 26. Now, if it does not happen this year, then they said, don't worry about it until next year. But the next 1 or 2 years past this December, the next 1 or 2 years are the highest potential degree of having it pass by. Here we are. We're out here looking at it. And we're saying, "Oh, wow, okay. How am I going to know?" And then you say, "Well, you're going to know because the likelihood of martial law is 100% guaranteed to be in before this thing is seen, okay? So bearing that in mind, now we switch and you start watching the television, and all of a sudden, like you said, we're on the brink of it, and they're running practice. By the way, I'm going to tell you something that you didn't know. Red China ran the practice identical to Jade Helms the other day, last week.
What do you mean they ran the practice? They did a drill?
They ran the same type of a practice, I don't know what they called it, as Jade Helms.
Okay,
got me? They ran the same thing. See, we can't think just in terms of the United States. Of course, that's our only concern, really. But the bottom line is, see, this is the problem. When people start saying, oh, no, that's baloney, that's not going to happen, oh, that's fairy tale stuff, you have to say, wait a minute, why are they doing all this? Why have they taken the money? Why did they build the underground facilities? Why are they doing A, B, and C over here? Why are they putting weapons in the hands of the police? Why are they practicing martial law and doing it in China, Russia, Europe, Italy, and every other major country?
You're right, Bob. We are so out of time. I can't tell you out of time.
I understand.
Will you agree to come back in the near future and we can do a Q&A on this?
Sure, I will. And there's a part B to this whole thing that maybe I can talk to you a little bit about, and that is the potential means by which it can be eliminated or slowed down.
Bob, give out your website again before we say goodbye so people can go get the DVD.
Bob Fletcher, investigations.com, or just Google up, and then you will be able to track it easily. Just Bob Fletcher, Planet X, and that'll give you more information than you want to know.
Okay.
Everybody has to see this DVD set. It's imperative. You'll understand much more than you do from this program.
Well, we're going to do this again soon. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow to set something up. Bob, thanks so much for being very generous with your time.
God bless you guys, and take care.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Katie, help me catch my breath, okay? You're the health chick, so to speak.
I am the health chick, yes. Get some oxygen.
Oh, God. How could I got to tell you, I've gone from being a skeptic to where I'm going to have to really look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Katie,
yes.
We are so far behind time. It's scary. We just blew through that top of the hour break, and I have to tell you, in the 8.5 years that I've been on the air, I've never done that. We've never done that before, but I just felt we were getting to the point where people were getting questions answered about specific survival issues that I didn't want to just blow that off. And I know, folks, I didn't get to all of it. That's why I'm going to have Bob back on. Anyway, we are officially in our health segment. We're late. We're trying to run to catch the bus. We're catching up. Katie, go.
Well, I'll give you the condensed version, or I'll just kind of take things down a couple notches, and we'll shift gears a little bit, but that was riveting, and yes, that was just, in terms of that show, that was scratching the surface as far as I'm concerned. That show ties so much of what we've been hearing together and what we know in Scripture, and now, and the bunkers, this is all starting to fall into place, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
So, yes. Yes, but I'm going to segue.
Well, I want to talk to you again about foodforliberty.com/Hodges. With all the threats that are coming, martial law, currency collapse, if Planet X does come to fruition, there will be survivors. Will you have stored enough food to do you enough good to survive? Of course, there's going to be a lot of other elements at work, in some of these disaster scenarios, but it all starts with food. And, of course, it's security, but food. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And I just want to remind everybody that beforeitsnews.com carries all my articles on their website morning and evening. They put me in their newsletter. Great guys. They have a terrific site that's citizen journalism. And they let everybody write an article as long as they don't cross certain lines. And they feature just a few people. And so they've good source of information, good citizen journalism. No censorship. Do you hear that, Google? No censorship. And again, goodgopher.com. Katie just brought that up. My friend Mike Adams started the search engine. Do not Google. You do not need to Google anything. Goodgopher.com. That's the place to go. Well, we have my friend from Northern Colorado, Paul Martin. His website is revolutionradio.org. And Paul, I got to tell you, you're on with a couple of people here, and Dave and Katie, who just kind of had their foundation rocked by Bob Fletcher. I didn't take the Planet X thing very seriously, but Bob laid it out like the researcher he is, and I have to say he got my attention. Now, getting my attention is not the same as I'm saying the sky is falling, but let's put it this way. Yours truly is going to be doing some research on this, but I asked Paul to come on, and let me just say this for the benefit of the listening audience, because Paul and I talk every couple days, and we share who says what about what, and we compare notes and try to form reasonable conclusions. He told me something earlier in the week that he's not been able to put a cap on, but I thought this information was so stunning And Paul thinks that this source that he got the information from is so credible that it's certainly worth mentioning. So, Paul, welcome to the show, and let's get down to it.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing okay. Fairly partly cloudy. I want to sleep under my bed. But anyway, let's talk about... let's just get right into it. Eastern Colorado, some very bizarre stuff.
Yeah, this gentleman is the father of a longtime friend of my daughter. And the guy's amazing. The guy can do anything. He was over doing some air condition work for us. And so we were outside after he's finished talking about stuff. He said, "I got something to tell you." And I go, "What's that?" He said, "I've got a friend that inherited a massive amount of land out in eastern Colorado." He said, "It's huge." He didn't know how many acres it was, but he said it was huge. And he hadn't really driven the property. You know, he's a busy guy, and he decided to, you know, go drive his property. Well, he got over to one side of the property, and there's a bluff there. And somebody had drilled a giant hole into the bluff, and there was two big giant black doors with brand new railroad tracks leading into this bored out bluff. And he was looking around. He was pretty amazed. And the door was cracked. And so he grabbed it and it's a big door, and he inched it back, and he looked inside, and he said it looked like an oven, a big giant oven. And about 15 seconds after he cracked that door, four black Suburbans piled on top of him. Now, this is flat. Eastern Colorado is flat. I mean, these cars came out of nowhere, which leads me to believe that they were underground. And so they all piled out of their Suburbans with fully automatic weapons and told him he had to leave. And he said, "I don't have to leave anything. This is my land." And I said, "No, sir, you're going to have to leave. This is government property." And he said, "No, it's not government property. This is my land." And he's at his iPhone there, and he said, "Here's the GPS coordinates for all four corners of my property, and you're on it." And he said, "Well, sir, you're absolutely going to have to leave." And he said, "I'm not going anywhere. This is my property." And one of the big Husky guys dropped the hammer, let that bolt fly on that M16, and he left. Well, after that, he had contacted five different attorneys that he knew, and nobody would take this case. So this is huge, Dave. What we're going to have to do, I think it's probably too dangerous to go on the property, but I think we can fly over it. But we've definitely, and he said these railroad tracks were brand new, and he didn't know how far they went, and I don't know what direction they went, but we need to get a bird in the air, and we need to film this because we need to get this out. This is, why would the government bore a giant hole into a bluff out in the middle of nowhere, eastern Colorado, lay brand new railroad tracks, and the gentleman that looked in it, it looked to him like a big giant oven. So this is a huge story, and we're going to have to ask the audience to help us, because we definitely, I know I had a young man that used to work for me that has a small movie company. We need to get a really good camera in the air, and we need to film this and see how, fly as low as we can and get some good shots of the railway and the big giant doors in the side of the bluff. But this sounds very ominous to me, Dave.
Well, it does to me, too. Vic, what you're going to need to do is trace the origin of the tracks. Where do they start? Now,
exactly.
I suspect they're offshoots of other tracks. And I will tell you this. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this is a rail line that shoots off a main track somewhere.
Well, it's never boring talking to you. But this might be the most intriguing thing you've told me among all the interesting things that we've talked about. But a couple of things come to mind. One, when I hear the subject of railroad tracks, I think of FEMA camps. When I hear the subject of ovens, well, that kind of goes without saying. But this is so remote. And as far as I know, nothing in the area in terms of a FEMA camp. Nothing that could be converted into a FEMA camp.
No, however, it's just wide open, flat prairie.
Exactly. So that leads you to a second possibility, and it's what Bob Fletcher talked about in the first 2 hours plus of this show. And Bob talked about the fact that the underground structures created, and they have unusual entry points. And these entry points are what the elite will try to get to, and this will be their refuge during the Planet X fiasco. So it's one of two things. It's a disposition center resulting from mass extermination. It certainly fits the Nazi profile, except the demographics are all wrong. And then we've got the possibility it's a haven for the elite. And I got to tell you, Paul, when I put my finger up in the air, see which way the wind is blowing here, I'd vote for the second one just based on the available evidence at the moment. That could change, of course. Is there a third possibility that comes to your mind about what this could be?
No, there's nothing. And the fact that these blacked-out suburbans just appeared out of nowhere tells me that you could be right. I mean, this could be an underground facility. There was nowhere for those vehicles to be within 15 seconds of him cracking that door. So they definitely, I can't think of any other reason other than they came out from an underground area.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too. And about how far would you estimate this would be from DIA, Denver International Airport?
Ooh, as the crow flies. 65, 70 miles.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. This could be the find of the year, but we're going to have to, like I said, we're going to have to get a bird in the air. And once we get in the air, we can trace, we can follow the tracks and find out where they hook up.
Well, I'm going to share with you a story. And I don't think I've told this on the air. And my good friend, who used to be my neighbor, he was involved with me in fighting against McCain's attempt to take over without compensation of our homes out in our area. But his brother did contract work for a lot of the alphabet soup agencies, construction work. And one of the things he worked on a lot, and this is what my friend shared with me, was they sealed up caves into mountains and the sides of hills on forest land. And the one thing that got his brother's attention, the person who was doing the work, was the fact that if they ventured very far in, they saw evidence of railroad tracks and truck traffic. And he said that their job was to seal up. So was this an ancillary entrance to where they would bring in supplies? Well, that's what my friend said. He said, that's what I think is going on. Now, obviously, this was a highly secured operation. He was under a security clearance, and I'm not at liberty to say a whole lot more than what I've already said. I really don't know a whole lot more than what I already said, except I have the identity of both people. But that story there reminds me of the story you're telling us tonight. And this is why I go back to what Bob Fletcher was saying about these underground structures. They have unusual entry points. This one was extremely well guarded. No question whatsoever. Very well guarded. Now, the question I have, too, and something we need to look into, is the attorneys that this man approached who would not touch this case with a 10-foot pole, why wouldn't they take the case? It's a clear case of trespassing.
Well, absolutely. I think they may have been given a message. I mean, attorneys talk to other attorneys. You know, like PhDs talk to other PhDs. So these guys knew something that they were so spooked that they wouldn't even get near. I mean, they wouldn't even talk to him about the case. Nope, we're not taking it. Thank you. Bye. Click. And so yeah, there's something huge out there, and I've just got to get out there. It would be nice to be able to get on the ground, but with those vehicles there in 15 seconds, they just may start shooting. But hopefully we can get some good video from the air. So we're going to need. I'll put up on my website and your audience, if anybody wants to help us do this. This will probably be. I don't know. I skydive for 17 years. I don't know what pilots are flying for per hour now. But we need to. This will probably be, you know, at least half a day operation. So anybody that would like to contribute and help us get this information out, it would be great.
Well, let's just start with an all call here for anyone who's listening who has their own plane that's pilot that lives in the region. You can certainly contact me, and I'll put you in contact with Paul. Paul, you don't mind giving out your email address either, do you?
No, not at all. It's radio, R-A-D-I-O, dude, D-U-D-E, 419 at hotmail.com. That's radio, R-A-D-I-O, dude, D-U-D-E, 419 at hotmail.com.
Yeah, you need to do a GoFundMe. And when you do, I'll run that, because this is something we have a right to know. I mean, this is clearly money that Bob talked about, money being siphoned off to create these facilities. This is wrong. This is our money. Our money at work. It's this rancher's land who's basically been stolen from him. We need to stand up to this. I mean, I think we need to face this en masse, but you know that's not going to be the way it works. What movie was it, Bob, where an asteroid is coming? Morgan Freeman played the president.
Yeah,
they did
exactly.
A lottery of a million people. Do you remember that? And they got to go to the underground.
Yeah, I've seen it three or four times. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the name? Was that Asteroid, or what was the name of that?
Impact or something.
Impact.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. That. It's funny how things get telegraphed, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. They tell you what they're going to do to you. I mean, and they do it in various ways.
What's interesting to me is Bob Fletcher brought up the fact, and this sent chills up and down my spine. He talked about Jade Helm was a means to invoke martial law so the rich could make their getaway. And let me tell you, Paul, and I'm sure you remember this article, but back, I think it was the first week in May, I wrote an article where I talked about I had an insider source who cut his teeth on special operations forces. And at that time, he was in contact with some people who were very high up in the Jade Helm operation. And the thing that most disturbed my contact was the fact that the Jade Helm people were telling him, we have no idea what it is we're doing long term. Everything is so compartmentalized that even the guys running the Jade Helm operation don't know what it's about. And boy, if you're looking at connecting it to something like Planet X, I can see why they would do that. What troops would stay on the job if they knew what was coming?
They wouldn't.
Exactly. And
over the last 4 or 5 years with my sources, I mean, they are planning for something monumental, massive, huge, whatever word you want to put on it. But my FEMA source in the health end of FEMA, it was a year and a half ago. He said, "You guys are on your own." He said, "We're not preparing to help with the American people. We're simply here for continuity of government." And he did know for a fact that at that time they were piling massive amounts of food underground in Nebraska, Wyoming, and in Colorado. He knew where the underground facilities were, but he hadn't been to them, but he did know where they were. So, I mean, this is truly a military operation. I mean, it's just like, you know, stuff I did when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, you prepare, you pre-position, and then you launch. And that's exactly what they're doing. And but, you know, it was 2 years ago, my East Coast source said, when this shoe drops, Wherever you are is where you're going to stay. And so they're preparing to shut everything down, and, you know, that's transportation. Heck, Dave, all we have to do is have the credit marks break, and transportation comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah, and then getting food will be problematic at the end of the second day.
Yeah, if you don't have 2 or 3 years' worth of food, you are out of your gourd.
Foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And no, I'm not making a cheap commercial. I'm telling you that I advertise products on this show only because of their utility for the situations that could be coming. It's time for me to tell this story again. I've told it before briefly, but I used to have a basketball player played for me several years ago, over a decade ago. Large man, 6'7", 250, lived in the Nashville area, and he knew I had a radio show, but he didn't really follow this stuff. But one day I get a phone call from him, and he says, Coach, what's FEMA? I said, what do you mean, what's FEMA? He said, FEMA was just in my house. And I said, well, that's interesting. Tell me about that. And he said that these guys pulled up in a black Suburban with tinted windows, you know, your typical FEMA horror story, and they jumped out, and he yells out the door and through the screen door. He says, that's far enough. That's far enough. You don't go any further. And remember, this is a large man. And they came up and they go, well, we need to gain entry to your home. He goes, do you have a warrant? He goes, no. They said, like hell you're getting in here. And the one guy pulled back his coat to expose his gun. And eventually, because, you know, Will, shouldn't have said his first name, but he was watching his baby. His wife was at work. And so he was fearful of what could come. So he let him in. And they didn't go to the kitchen. They went to the pantry. And they told him, well, we want to know, you know, how much food you have in storage. He goes, that's why we're here. And what's interesting about that, Paul, is after I told this story, when it occurred, I told it the very next Sunday, and he declined to come on. But I had a lady call me from Atlanta, and the same thing happened to her. And so they've been doing these spot checks with food, and it almost seems like they don't want us to be prepared for what's coming. In fact, they're talking now about, have you heard, Paul, about they're talking in FEMA and DHS now that if you have over 3 days of food, they're going to consider that to be a terrorist act?
Yep. Well, yeah, food is your life. Water is your life. Medicine is your life. This is your stuff. You're just going to have to stand up and take care of business. And I talked to you off air. We've got a new friend, Dave. And let me see how I put this. From the East Coast, lives in very, very, very rural Colorado somewhere. And he's recently retired from the Central Intelligence Agency. He was talking to a friend of mine. And
our mutual friend. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, our mutual friend.
Yes.
And it was talking about politics. Well, what do you think about the presidential race and Donald Trump and all that? And he just kind of grinned. He said, you don't have to worry about politics. He said, martial law will be launched way before the election. So that just reconfirms other things that we know from other sources that we have.
Well, I have another source that's come out, too, and maybe this is a good time to unveil it. We certainly don't have the time to fully develop it, but I was given a working paper, or I should say was able to look at it for a while, and I was able to take notes on it, although I was not allowed to keep it. And this working paper was about elements of martial law that would go into effect under Jade Helm, quote, unquote, occupation. And they used that word. It jumped right off the page at me. So I took notes. Now, I had written an article back on May 3rd of this year, in which I talked about the fact that there would probably be 17 elements of martial law if Jade Helm were to go live. And what did I base the information on? At that time, I didn't have any inside information about Jade Helm with regard to martial law provisions, but I went based on what I knew about history, you know, and what typically happens during martial law. And so, you know, I published these 17 items, and I said, these are 17 things you want to look for. And this article got widely distributed, dust to dawn curfews, rationing of essential resources, that'd be Executive Order 13603, the seizing of personal assets such as food and water, arrests without due process, outlawing of free speech, control of the media, executions without due process of law. Boy, is there a train going by there?
No, it's a
Dodge diesel pulling up the driveway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say it's either that or a tank. Okay. So, anyways, I'm going through some of these things. You know, the massive papers, please, checkpoints. What I found interesting is people keep writing to me, and I want all of you who believe this to listen. Mullen Levy, they can't take us over. They can't do anything to us because we have 300 million handguns. Really? Well, under martial law, what I have in this document, and I'm going to publish it tomorrow morning on the website, they've talked about gun confiscation. And what they're going to do in martial law is they're going to go to the homes of gun owners. Yes, when you bought your gun, good chances that you were registered. And they're going to go in there and they're going to inspect your home. One, they're going to do energy audits. You heard me correctly. Energy audits. I kid you not. They're still thinking Agenda 21, even in a crisis. They're going to do gun confiscation. And if you've got food over what they call the prescribed amount, and I don't know what the prescribed amount is. It just said, when I read it, it said the prescribed amount, they're going to seize that food. And they do not need a warrant to enter your home. And all they need is to be sanctioned by local law enforcement. So they could be Russians, Chinese, from Denmark. They could be from the YMCA. But if they're given this authority, they have the statutory authority, according to their own rules, to enter your home and enact these aspects of martial law. And it's pretty telling because they're also going to seize things like fertilizer. Fertilizer. Can you, Paul, you know why they're going to do the fertilizer, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't want us making bombs.
Nope.
They expect a pushback. And they expect that there's going to be some kind of pushback, civil unrest, and possibly even civil war. But what's interesting in all of these things that they mentioned here, they did, in fact, let me go down, and here's what I said in May of this year. Executions without due process of law. They didn't say it that bluntly, but effectively they said it. They used terms like final disposition. And one of the things, Paul, and you've seen this on my website in the articles, there is a disproportionate amount of medical trucks that are being shipped around the country. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of the photos that people send me of these military convoy trains or these military convoys on highways. There is almost always military medical trucks for mass casualties. In fact, what are the DHS mass casualty bus, I've gotten this sent to me about 10 times today, was spotted in Texas. So clearly they're planning for mass casualties. And I don't think it's mass casualties as a result of Planet X, because when that happens, it's every man and woman for themselves. I think it's going to be the pushback civil war that's going to be the reaction to the implementation of martial law.
I've got an old-timer. He's probably late 70s, early 80s, and it was a couple months ago. He was up at the big truck stop up in Cheyenne, and he stopped by and told me, like, he doesn't carry a cell phone or that stuff. He says, "What's going on?" I said, "Why do you ask?" He says, "That whole truck stop was full of emergency military ambulances and stuff." And I said, "Well, there's some stuff going on. I'll tell you about it later. I don't want to scare him." But, yeah, we've seen massive amount. It was last year that there were three European. I saw them. I was going northbound to Cheyenne, and they were going southbound towards Denver. And they had bubbles and antennas, and it was a weird camo design. And so I called my late friend Mike McNulty. He's kind of a bug on worldwide military equipment. And I told him what, and he said, those are biological nuclear sniffers. They're made in West Germany. West Germany is the only people in the world that makes them. So there was three of those heading down to Cheyenne, or heading south towards Denver, you know, a couple years ago. So, we're ground central for this. We're ground central for Russian troops, Mongolians. It's nuts out here, Dave.
Yeah, part of me feels like I made a good decision in leaving Colorado. I mean, I don't even recognize. I come back, you know, and visit family, and I'll watch newscasts, I'll talk to people, and I just see how things are being run in Denver, where I grew up. I don't even recognize the city. It's almost like it's so totalitarian. I'll give you an example. It's a cosmopolitan city. It's a very advanced city, very refined in the arts and so forth, well-educated population in Denver. But it's almost like it reminds me of Capital City in the Hunger Games movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my daughter goes to college down there. She last year of college soccer, and yeah, I go down there quite a bit. And it's, you would not believe the Agenda 21 housing that they're building. It's,
oh yeah, oh
like,
I know.
Lakewood looked like a foreign country. I mean, they're built that it's from Grand Junction, and they're living in one of those human boxes. And I mean, it's just as far. And Fort Collins is building like crazy, building.
Yeah, you got them too. Paul, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity here to give out your website address as well as your contact information again in case anyone can help you facilitate this flyover.
My email is radiodude, RADIODUDE, 419er, at hotmail.com. My website's revolutionradio.org.
Revolutionradio.org. And a great site. You got a lot of good articles up there. Post them every day. Well, next week, talk about what's coming. We've got, and he's going to be talking about preparation, and we're working on getting Pat Wood, and we have a surprise guest in the last half hour. Paul, my friend, thank you very much for joining us. Interesting information. Going to be a story that we have to follow. And to everybody else, thanks for listening tonight. I'm going to go hide under the bed for a while. Go out and have a great...
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends.